Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening, smartly, to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
It's in a pocket of space. Anderson came and didn't get there. Chance for Chelsea. Goal for Chelsea. Kai Havertz in the Champions League final. And Chelsea take the lead in Porto.
It's time for another episode of At the Bridge Pod, your number one Chelsea FC podcast. Coming up on this episode, we are going to be talking all about the latest wonder kid linked with the Blues, Arsen Zakarian. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the World Cup as it approaches this weekend. It's At the Bridge Pod. Let's go.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. I'm joined in a virtual room filled with some Lions, Ollie and Chris. And you know what time it is? It's what are you most looking forward to this weekend time?
Do you know what? I actually prepared in advance because I've got, sorry, and this is going to be quite a fun thing because she doesn't know and she also doesn't listen to the podcast. I'm going to be proposing to my girlfriend this weekend.
Oh, look at that.
Wow. Congrats.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Well, congrats if she says yes. Commiserations if she says
no. Well, listen, if I'm not on Monday, you'll know what's happened. Okay?
Oh, no.
That's it. Oh, no. We will.
I'd say I can't really come back at anything with, because obviously you got the World Cup where everyone's like, oh yeah, and it's the winter as well for me, so it's like winter World Cup. I don't know. I was looking forward to seeing a snow game in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills, but they've moved it for safety reasons to Detroit. So it's apparently 6 foot of snow.
Hang on, they moved it for safety reasons to Detroit. Do they know what Detroit's like?
6 foot of snow, though. 6 foot of snow. That's mad.
I think I'd chance that over Detroit.
Six.
Yeah.
Wow. I've read thunder snow being involved. I mean, that's terrifying, actually.
Thunder snow? People are just making stuff up now.
It's snow and a thunderstorm at the same time. So
it's loaded nonsense.
Ridiculously heavy. It's going to be interesting to see what the footage is that comes out of Buffalo, New York, when that storm hits. So, yeah, hopefully everyone keeps safe and well. On that, as always, we kick off the show with another round of Who is That Former Blue? And this former Blue, he played 292 times for Chelsea. He's been in the PFA Team of the Year twice. In his career for two different clubs. Sorry, I did not put the comma in the right place there. PFA Team of the Year twice in his career for two different clubs. And he currently works on the board of directors of a La Liga club and has played with Peter Crouch, Shea Given and Didier Deschamps. Any ideas there?
Maybe. We'll see.
No, not right now. I don't have enough thinking time.
Well, I bloody hope you didn't turn on TalkSport this morning for their life stories because he was on that and I was really frustrated because I was like, I didn't know he was going to be appearing on that.
I don't listen to TalkSport.
It was 7 a.m. So.
No, I don't
listen to it out of principle.
Fair play.
And
can't
I was
argue.
Asleep.
Can't argue. Right, with that, we're going to head straight to the newsroom, see what the latest is at Stamford Bridge. Look at that, listeners. It's that time of the week again. You grab yourself a drink and you check out the news that you may have missed in the elevator of Chelsea news. Christopher Nkunku will miss the World Cup due to injury in a training session for France. Positive talks were held recently with Mason Mount and there is now great optimism a deal will be agreed when the next round of negotiations begin. Eden Hazard told Marca that he was never close to return to Chelsea or to leave Real Madrid in general, and Chelsea never called him. Chelsea's internal restructuring has led to a change of role for Neil Barth. Club's highly respected academy director will be the director of football development and operations. Chelsea icon, legend and cult hero Gary Cahill announced his retirement. And finally in the news, Chelsea made 52 starting 11 changes this season compared to Arsenal's 11. Woo! I feel I would say, what do you want to discuss? But Gary Cahill, what a legend, eh?
Absolutely. Do you know what? He was always in the right place at the right time to like pop up with a goal. If the ball, like if there was like a corner or something and the ball's like bouncing around in the box, and he'd come steaming in to just smash it as hard as he could. And he scored a fair few that way.
Yeah, the amount of goals he scored that were just world-class goals.
I think as well, I think Cahill could be one of our most underrated players ever.
100%.
I think, like, you know when people are doing, like, all-time Chelsea teams or, like, Premier League era, all-time Chelsea 11? I don't see many even give him a mention. Now, you could make it, obviously, you could make a case for him not being in there, but I think he deserves to at least be in a conversation.
If like, you were going to, if he was going to be like David Luiz, he'd be on the bench, for sure.
But I mean, I've seen more people pick David Luiz in those all-time Chelsea 11s over Cahill.
He played for us. Sorry, his first 6 months of his career at Chelsea, he cost us £7 million in the January. He goes on to be key in the Champions League final. He lifts the FA Cup as well in the same season, the same half season. I think that's what a transfer for one of the best. We don't hit on January transfers often. We hit big, we hit hard with Gary Cahill.
From Bolton, because, of all places.
Hey, Nicolas Anelka played for Bolton, and he was absolute top class there.
I know they were in the Prem back in the day and stuff, but the time we pinched him from Bolton, they weren't doing very well.
No. Did we sign Anelka from Bolton as well? I feel like we did. I think we did, because we didn't sign him from Fenerbahce.
No, he was Bolton as well. To be fair,
funny enough, he left the same season that Cahill joined.
Because
he fell out with
left
Andre
in 2012.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, that's Chelsea all over. That is, like, we're talking about Gary Cahill, Azpilicueta, even Anelka. Lower-rated signings do well.
Yeah, exactly.
Big money signings do not. I don't know why we haven't figured that out yet.
Oh, we might with this new structure. I mean, I will touch on the 52 changes because for me, them are absolute rookie numbers. You know, I'm expecting triple figures after this World Cup. Come on. You know, we got to, you know, we compare ourselves to our Red London neighbours in Arsenal. They are just lucky in terms of injury because given how many, well, look at the few changes they've made to their starting 11. And
the only injury I think they've had is Smith Rowe, and he's coming back soon.
I mean, it's just like when
Tomiyasu, I think, might have been injured at one point as well. But other than that,
we were lucky when we won the Champions League. You know, luck is a huge factor, and we don't often admit it. But imagine if, say, in 2021, we had lost even one of Kante, Rhys, Mendy, Rudiger. I mean, if we'd have lost them for that campaign,
even Werner,
exactly. You know, if we'd have lost any of them, would we have won the trophy? I don't think so. You know, I hope our fortunes turn after the restart and we can play our best 11 regularly. It just, unfortunately, the injuries have just kept knocking at us and it affects your team. I know fans are not too happy with what's going on at the moment with results, understandably. However, we look at Liverpool, great team under Klopp, but as soon as they had a couple of injuries, they were just a shadow of what they were.
I think it goes into my theory as well, though, that injuries aside, I think sometimes we've had a squad that has got too much quality in it. Not too much quality.
Too good, aren't
we? No, you can't be too good anyway. No, we don't want that. Stop that.
Too much of the similar quality. I think if you look at Arsenal now, like if you said to Arsenal fans, what's your best 11? They could probably pick it. To be fair, if you said to us, what's Arsenal's best 11? We could probably pick it.
Whatever happened last week.
You say, what's Chelsea's best 11? And everyone would come up with something different. Same with Liverpool. You say to fans, what's Liverpool's best 11? Most of them will pick the exact same team. But ours is like, you know, who knows? And I think that's been one of our problems. We haven't
That's compounded even more when you take injuries into account as well. If you say, what's our best fit team, then you've got a billion different answers.
I mean, we have the world's most underrated goalkeeper in Marcus Bettinelli, and he doesn't play. I mean, the depth of goalkeeping, we're stacked there. I'll tell you where we're not stacked in certain points is in midfield. And look, I've never known a main topic to change so dramatically in the course of 24 hours. You know, we had a fair few messages about Arsene Zakarian, and you listeners wanted us to do a deep dive on the young Russian. So that is exactly what we're going to do. But a special mention first to listener Chessie Footy Club for finding us a video where Zacharan pronounces his name. And I really appreciate that. I didn't get to butcher it. I didn't go, Zacharian or Zacharian? No, Zacharan.
Yeah, I would have gone with Zacharian or something like that.
I was originally thinking, oh, is it Zacharian? Thank you. I am so appreciative of that video. I really am. But by the end of this episode, everyone listening, you'll be able to brag to your friends. You'll be able to blag as well to the friends, your colleagues and your family that you know everything there is to know about Arsene Zacharan. Now, originally, he was linked with a move to the Blues in the summer, but the FA had blocked that move due to the whole money being transferred from England to Russia. And he's a Russian citizen. Understandable. I get it. So, before I bring the lads in, quick little bio on him. Arsene Zacharan, he's regarded as one of Russia's most talented players, and he was born in the city of Samara. He plays for Dynamo Moscow, and he's just turned 19, and he's already earned 4 international caps for his nation after excelling through the youth divisions. Despite being mostly a central midfielder, he possesses the physical and the technical skills to play on either wing, always a bonus. Because of his excellent close control on the ball, he can easily pass opponents while moving forward with the ball. He frequently cuts in on his right foot and isn't afraid to try his luck from distance. So I'm thinking Iron Robin, but on another foot. Always a good thing to have another Iron Robin in the game of football. So Zacharan, he's got great dribbling skills that go along with that powerful physical build of his, making him a good midfielder for the very physical Premier League that it is. And he's seen as a Russian prodigy, and his record is pretty impressive. You know, he scored 9 goals and 9 assists in just 34 games for Dynamo last season. And I think that sort of serves as a testament to his willingness to make the smart runs into the penalty area to support the attack when the opportunity arises. Guys, I sent you both away to check him out in classic YouTube fashion. What did you see with the eyesight test?
I saw a player who wasn't afraid to make things happen, you know, and that was one thing that really struck out to me. You know, I think a lot of the players we've got in our squad at the moment are still trying to play things quite safe, and because they've had that drilled into them under Tuchel's reign and probably some of the managers before as well. But Potter's quite a dynamic manager, and he quite likes his players to take risks. And in Zacharan, I saw someone who actually was able to take risks. The other thing as well is that I thought he seems quite tall, but he's got quite, well, it's a cliche, isn't it? He's got a good touch for a big lad. you know, but he is very sort of like fleet footed. And I could see real quality from him. A little bit green, maybe, you know, but really promising.
What about you, Chris?
Do you know what? Like, this is going to be one of them quotes that might come back to haunt me, but it reminded me a lot of when I first saw Kevin De Bruyne for Genk when he played against
not
us
here,
in the Champions
somewhere
League.
He just turned around and had a shiver down his spine.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it.
And in those things you was just saying about him, that's very Kevin De Bruyne-esque. Has all the attributes to play centre midfield, but can also play out wide. And Kevin De Bruyne started as a winger and then sort of converted to centre mid. He has good vision, good ability to find a forward pass, which is something we don't have in our squad. My only concern with him is he being slightly overhyped?
Because
the expectation. Yeah. And I think that's where people have got to sort of rein it in a little bit. Like some people saying that he would instantly solve all our creativity problems. It's going a bit far for someone who's so young and has yet to be tested in a good quality league. That would be my only concern, that the weight of expectation might follow him. I think if we all curbed our sort of expectation and just judged him for what we see when he gets a Chelsea shirt on, then he does look a very good young player.
I mean, he was born in 2003, obviously. And I love the fact that he was born 26th of May. We'd just obviously beaten Liverpool, secured Champions League football, then got purchased by Roman. So, yeah, it's a nice little nod back there. It's irrelevant. It's a nod back, but yeah, I'll take it.
He seems a very creative player. as well. Like, you know, like
exactly.
He was making, I think I found the stat somewhere on Twitter that he, sorry, I don't know how true it is. But it says
things on Twitter, not
was,
true.
Oh, well, you know, especially in this climate, right? he was making something like three big chances per game, you know, which is more than anyone else in Europe at the moment. Now, of course, is the Russian league, like Chris said. But, you know, that's got to count for something, isn't it? Highest in Europe, even in the Russian league.
Yeah, I mean, anyone could be made to look like Lionel Messi in a compilation vid, which is why I looked at both compilations and match highlights. I mean, I looked at how Dinamo Moscow played last season and with him in the squad, and what I saw was a lad playing without fear, head up, eyes always moving to see where his teammates are, and he's like Ollie just touched on, he's always looking to beat a man, you know, he really does enjoy getting
past. He plays
past.
Without fear.
Exactly, you know, he enjoys getting past the opposition players. I mean, I do hate comparisons, but if he reminds me of anyone, I'd say Mateo Kovacic, but with more flair and goal scoring.
That's not a bad shout. Yeah. The only thing I'd say from him is he does seem a bit rash in the challenge. He's been sent off a few times. He's got quite a few cards to his name, I think, even though he hasn't played all that many games. So I think the only thing about that is just making sure he doesn't get wound up or, you know, getting over his head, you know, flying into tackles and stuff.
We need some passion in our squad. I mean,
yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, I think it is a bad thing if you get sent off. That's really
no, just, you know, well, get some time off the game. I mean, the reason he does remind me so much of Kovacic is due to that ability to like take on the players, maintain possession of his dribbling. But because of his size, he can sort of advance in the lengthy strides without the ball, you know, surprising defenders with his quickness when entering the danger zones of the pitch, especially during a counter-attack. Which
that does sound a bit like Havertz, though, at the same time, doesn't it?
I see your point. I do. I mean, the fact is, right, he came through one of those less-known academies in Dynamo Moscow. That I find interesting. Now, with respect to Dynamo, they are most known for producing Lev Yashin, Ballon d'Or winner, only goalkeeper to win it, in the 50s. But
didn't they have some unbelievable kids in like the 90s and stuff?
They produced players like Fedor Smolov, Alexander Kokorin, and Roman Zobnin in the last 10 years or so. And they've all played for Russia at the World Cup. But in recent years, the Dynamo Moscow production line has significantly slowed down. And they did have one of the oldest squads in the Russian Premier League by average before 2020. Now, I said earlier about him earning his place through the youth ranks at Dynamo, playing in the youth football league. It's a fairly new competition for the sort of the Russian elite teams. So basically under 18 and under 17 sides participate in this competition. And he was named in the team of the season, though through that he'd earned a place in Russia's squad for the under 21 Euros because of it. And he became the tournament's youngest ever goal scorer with a goal against Iceland. Now on that, I mean, I look at our midfield, and we need that Eden Hazard-like ability that he can show. You know, he's perfectly capable of receiving that ball, slipping past the opponents, forcing them to commit, and just sort of luring them in so that after beating them, he has the options. And his goal against Iceland, which obviously made him a record breaker, you know, in the under 21 Euros, it's kind of a great illustration of that. And I'd seek listeners to check it out because in order to complete the 1-2, he scoops the ball deep and he plays it to Fedor Chalov, followed it and then drove through three defenders to the penalty area to score. Now, for me, we need more of this in our side. But guys, how do you feel about the way Chelsea are now building a strong core of young players from obviously the signs of Chukwuemeka, Cassidy, and obviously trying to sign Zach Aran?
Well, I think it's all part of Boley's vision, isn't it? You know, it's what American sports owners oftentimes build their dynasties around is a strong core of young players tied down to big contracts who are very, very good. And we're sort of starting to see that in terms of the contract side and also on the recruiting side as well. So I think the exciting thing about that is that it's clear that we're not done, especially in like the youth recruiting and things like that, especially with Neil Barth being sort of moved into a position with the within the main sort of stands of the club now, rather than just with the first team. I think he'll have a really good job of sort of being able to move, you know, recognize when some of the players in the academy can be moved up to play first team football. It sort of linked the academy to the first team a bit in a better way than I think it has been recently. It's really encouraging signs.
What do you think about this, Chris? About how we're building this strong young core?
It's good for the future. However, some of the signings, I think it's good if they're coming straight into the first team. Not necessarily like into the starting 11, but as part of the first team squad. A bit like Chukwuemeka has. Yeah. Like, I know he's been injured a fair amount, but at least he's in the first team squad. Like, Cassidy was a good signing, but now he's gone with the youth team. And let's face it, he's probably going to be loaned out at least twice. That's just what we do. So sometimes I think, is that really, is he going to develop as well as he would have done if we just left him in Italy and almost kept an eye on him for a while, and then once he'd broke out over there, then sign him? I understand from a business point of view, it's better to sign him early because the price tag's lower. But development wise, is it? And then I think the only thing that concerns me is I don't think you can go down the full youth route.
You don't think you can win anything with kids?
No. having a young team now is good. And like people keep pointing out, Arsenal have got a young team.
Average age 24.
They still have experienced players in there as well, though, like Thomas Partey, Granit Xhaka. Even Ben White, really. I know he's quite young, but he's got top-level experience when they signed him. Kieran Tierney. It's not like they're signing a load of young kids who have yet to do anything significant, really, anywhere of significance.
And I think that's like that at the time when Arteta was building his squad, it was like that. We're seeing the fruits of that now.
Yeah.
Two odd seasons ago. But, they were struggling.
I mean,
with that,
yeah, the exactly. oldest players exactly. in the Arsenal starting 11 are Xhaka at 30, Partey at 29. And then, being honest, going through the names, I would say based on starters, it's Kieran Tierney at 25, Ben White at 25. So that's pretty young. That's not.
Ben White's 25. I didn't
know. 25, yeah. I mean, you kind of expect. Maybe I'm just naive to say an experienced head would be like 29, 30. So, yeah. But. Yeah, it's working for them, very much so.
But if you think about it, would Potter survive finishing eighth twice?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Because we don't know this ownership's higher and fire with the, attitude.
With the owners, they may well accept that that's part of the process. Mm. But the fans, as we've already seen 11 games in, won't.
Yeah.
So I think the problem is that Arsenal was very happy to back Arteta through that. And even Arsenal fans was calling for Arteta to go a lot when they kept finishing eight.
I know, but they were in the bin before Arteta. That was the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a really good point, actually, when you think about it. Like Arsenal, it's not like they was at the top and they'd fall off. They hadn't been there for nearly a decade.
Yeah,
so not a reliable challenger in ages.
No, exactly. Whereas if we was to finish eighth this season, people will bring up that 2 years ago we won the Champions League.
I'm really sick of that as well. Not at you, Chris, but we know we got quite lucky in that tournament. You have to be to win a Champions League, whether you like it or not, the look of the draw and look of the injuries and all that sort of thing. We haven't.
I think that's true. All cups, all cup success is an element of luck, and anyone at any time can go on and win a cup.
We got fortunate.
It's league.
Yeah, exactly. We got fortunate at Europa League that year because we had to take it to a penalty shootout against a very impressive Frankfurt side in 18-19. And the Arsenal side weren't the greatest that we took on. And we did have Hazard, who's a Champions League level player playing in a competition that he was at the time far better than. But you said about leagues. I mean, the last time we won the league was 16-17. That's 5 years ago, to prove that we were a consistent sort of what I'd say is a machine. We are not that
and
now.
And we haven't challenged. We haven't even challenged for it in that time either. It's not like we've been finishing second. We haven't challenged. Since we last won it, we haven't been anywhere near the title.
People will point up that last year, this time, I think it was this time last year, we were in first. Yeah, that's great. It's a good bit of form. And then obviously it tailed off. That's not, you know, if you were there at the end of the season. Exactly. You know, everyone can be, I think Arsenal were at it a few years back at Christmas. It's ironically now as well. But you think if you're there in March, I could argue that you're in the title race. We've been scrapping for fourth in the last 4 or so years. We've managed to achieve it, or third. But the point is, we want to be going for titles. We'll see how it all plays out with the young core. But hey, the World Cup, it kicks off in just a few days' time. And we're trying to get in the spirit of things. You know, we asked you, the listener, what four countries you wanted us idiots to pick a best 11 for as they head into their starting games. Will any of us pull a worldie, leave the podcast, become a manager? Not me. It's never going to be me. You just know that. I mean,
Chris has the best chance.
For
sure.
Yeah, for sure. I'd actually agree with that. You know, we
that's pressure.
Ooh. Well, you're the only one who actually coaches, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Now, Chris got Germany. Ollie is Brazil. I have the team that took 24 centre backs in France. So I will quickly run through mine before the lads drop their teams.
Could I just say, before you start, Mikey, if you've just said that they've took that many centre-backs and then you play a back four, that will be hilarious.
Well, here we go. In goal, don't have much choice because I'm not choosing Areola or Mandanda, though Mandanda does have the same amount of clean sheets as Lloris. Does, obviously, he's playing for Rennes. So Hugo Lloris, gone for
him. Isn't Lloris the captain as well?
We're not starting the captain on the bench. Defence, I mean, this is fun because 80% of the squad is defenders, but my back line is Teo Hernandez, William Saliba, Ibrahim Konate, and Benjamin Pavard.
That's a strong back four.
I tried my best. My midfielders, it's Griezmann in the attacking midfield position, Tchouameni in defensive mid, partnering Guendouzi, because I'd rather have him over Rabiot. That's my controversial take. Yeah. Up front, I've got Mbappe on the left, Benzema up front, and Dembele on the right. That's it. I don't even know if Benzema's going to be fixed. I think he pulled out of training or something.
He'll be in the tournament.
I didn't really think about it until you've just read that team out. France are not overly strong, are they, at this tournament?
Their midfield is really...
Their midfield.
Kante and Pogba, out of that midfield, you know, like you say, take two world-class midfielders out of any team in the world and they'll probably look a bit more ordinary. But, you know, France especially, when they rely on Kante and Pogba so much...
It's a lot of depth, a lot of talent, but a lot of inexperience at the same time.
Yeah, their forward line's good. But even that, Benzema isn't anywhere near the form he was in last season.
No. I mean,
you know what? I think all form is a write-off when you get into a World Cup, though.
Experience counts a lot.
Just catch fire. You never know.
Oh yeah, Real Madrid. Yeah, we've learnt with Real Madrid, experience in a competition takes you far. It does.
That's true.
So go on. Let's hear your 11s. I don't mind who goes first. No structure.
You have it, Chris. I want to hear this professional German 11, this machine that we're going to get.
Okay. Well, we'll see. So I've gone. Controversial to start off. I've dropped Manuel Neuer. And I've put Ter Stegen in goal. Because I think he's in possibly the best form he's ever been in, Ter Stegen. And Neuer is coming towards the end now. So, and to be fair, Germany have been conceding a lot of goals, so Neuer haven't been pulling up any trees. So I've gone with a back three of Klostermann, Schlotterbeck, and Rudiger. And then Kimmich as the right wing back, David Raum nice. As the left wing back, Gundogan and Goretzka in midfield, and then Jamal Musiala playing behind a front two of Kai Havertz, and I don't know how really know how to say his name. I'm not going to lie. I think it's Fulkrug.
Oh, what a shout! I love it. Yeah, that is it. That I do love. When he got announced, I was just like, yes, because I watch a bit of Bundesliga, but he's been great.
Yeah, he's been really good, and he's a bit different to Havertz, and you need that in a front two, I think.
Especially with Havertz, you know, you need someone who's going to be sort of the main target, as it were, when Havertz can sort of drift all
and
over
then Havertz can drift, yeah. And then Musiala obviously will be drifting around as well, because that's what he does for Bayern so well.
I expect Hansi Flick to start Sané and Müller. I just feel that he probably will.
Yeah, I think he will.
You know,
I think he will.
I'd like to see Mokoko get a couple of games, or at least some minutes, and you know, because he's that next wonder kid from Dortmund. So we see. They got Adeyemi as well. So
I'd be interested to see how Musiala does, because you know he's been setting the world alight by
him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go on, Ollie. Let's see Brazil. Oh, so Brazil, the favourites.
I think Brazil are going to win this tournament. And when I was putting this team together, I found it really quite difficult, because there were a lot of difficult decisions you had to make in it. And it starts in goal.
Mad, isn't it? The depth in that squad.
You got Ederson mm-hmm. and or Alisson that you have to choose from in goal. And I have actually gone with Ederson, because I think if you're going to be playing as Brazil, I tried to style this 11 in the way that Brazil like to play, which is like a fast-paced samba-style football. And so I went with Ederson because I think he's better with his feet than Alisson.
Yeah.
However, Alisson should be in goal for penalties. That, you know, that's the difference. But Ederson starts the game. At left back, I've gone with Alexandro. At centre backs, the two centre backs, I've got Thiago Silva and Marquinhos revising their sort of PSG partnership. Mm-hmm. I did think about having Dani Alves at right back, but because we've already got Thiago Silva in the squad, that back line would be like 400 years old.
He's like 106 and still plays.
So I've gone with Danilo with the goal that if you've got the two Juve. The two Juve fullbacks and then the two PSG centre backs, as it were, you're going to have quite a lot of cohesion across the back four. As the DM, lone DM, I've gone with Casemiro. And then two centre mids, I've gone with Bruno Guimarães and Paqueta, because I could not bring myself to choose Fred.
Fred, he'll play. Fred,
he will, but I can't. Because I don't know if he's actually good or not. I never know. He's Schrodinger's footballer for me. I can never figure it out.
He reminds me of Podolski, who turns up for the World Cup or for his country whilst playing for a club. It doesn't seem to click for them.
Yeah, like I said, I just cannot bring myself physically to choose Fred. I think I'd be sick. So left wing, I've gone with Vinicius Jr. Is it difficult on the front three, because there are a lot of good options, but I've gone with Vinicius Jr. on the left wing. On the right wing, I've gone with Rodrigo, because I think they've been doing so well for Real Madrid, and especially Rodrigo's really been carrying stuff, and Vinicius is just electric. So and then at sort of a false nine position, and actually the captain of the squad, not Thiago Silva, I've gone with Neymar. I did think about Gabi Jesus, but in the style of football that I thought this team could play, I think you're going to get a lot more out of someone like Neymar than you will out of Gabi Jesus in that position. You know, especially with that sort of kind of samba flair that you have to see, you know, from Brazil that you expect from them. So that's my team. It's just a 4-3-3, but you know, it's quite an attacking formation. You know, flame me about it on Twitter if you like.
I am loving that.
When you look at Brazil, they're very much like France, I think. They're going to rely very heavily on their forward line, because the rest of the team does have weaknesses in it. I mean, Alexandro and Danilo at fullback.
It's the fullbacks that are difficult. I did consider going with a three at the back with Eder Militao, but I thought maybe that sort of communication between Marquinhos and Silva would be better. And you can't really play a three at the back with Brazil, not really.
No, you can't. It's this World Cup, though, isn't it, with all the injuries. I don't know whether Brazil are missing many people, but like so many people now are injured at this World Cup that it's like, is there much point in carrying on?
Yeah, well, we saw it with Nkunku like the other day. Like, they're just dropping like flies.
Yeah, and they will do throughout the tournament as well.
Yeah, they will, absolutely. If Chelsea can get through the tournament, like if Chelsea's players can get through the tournament without any of them getting majorly injured, it'll be a massive win, a huge win.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's going to be very interesting. Right, to close, which player from the Chelsea squad do you think is going to have a decent World Cup? Because it's a tough one, because no one's actually in form right now, apart from the catering team. Such lovely halftime pies at Stamford Bridge. Whoa, mwah, lovely. For me, I've just gone with Christian Pulisic because I picked him originally a few pods back, and I just feel Captain America's going to pick up that shield, lead his nation out the group stage, shock win against England, draw against Wales, 2-0 win over Iran. Though, based on why the fuck not logic, it'll probably be top scorer of the tournament, Kai Havertz. What do you guys think?
On the basis that I think they're going to win the tournament, Brazil are going to win the whole thing, I think Thiago Silva is going to reprise his role and roll back the years once again for one last dance in the World Cup and take it home.
I think it could be Kai Havertz for Germany, to be honest.
He is good for Germany.
Yeah, he does that thing again where he's really good for Germany, and then he'll come back to Chelsea and everyone will be like, oh, he's going to be great. And then
he'll score like 3 goals in 25 matches or something. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll just be Kai Havertz again. And someone else who I think might have a really good tournament, sort of Chelsea related, Hazard.
That's not a bad shout.
I think this could be
the
start of his redemption.
From what I heard, they were going to eat. Who's the manager of Belgium? Is it still Martinez? It is Martinez. He's kind of there as a cheerleader, from what we heard. And I'm thinking that's just such a depressing fall from the stature he was before he left Chelsea.
That can't be true. Who are they going to play instead?
I don't.
His brother.
Imagine that. Amazing. Wow, what a kick in the face that would be.
Right. Before we sign off, we're going to find out who that former blue is. So at the start, I said he played 292 times for Chelsea. He's been in the PFA Team of the Year twice in his career for two different clubs. He works on the board of directors at a La Liga club. And he's played with Peter Crouch, Shay Given and Didier Deschamps. Now, anyone have a clue yet?
I'd need clubs personally. I was trying to think of it. Anyone who's played that much for Chelsea, there's quite a lot of games that, you know, and twice player of the year at different clubs, you know, I do understand, right, possibly. So, but I just can't think of it.
He played with Deschamps at Chelsea. I don't know if I'm going to give the other two clubs because I feel like if you all remember David Batty, right?
No.
Slightly
before my time.
Wow. Leeds legend. I mean, he infamously got caught up fighting teammate David Batty during a Champions League tie against Spartak Moscow. But that didn't give it away, certain listeners, the more veteran listeners will be, got him. Shay Given was at Blackburn and Crouch was at Southampton.
Wow, I really don't know.
It's an old school name. Is it Real Mallorca? I think is the, I really should double check that. I think it's Real Mallorca, is that?
Is he Spanish himself?
Nope.
Mm.
Is he English?
He is indeed.
Okay, I mean, I'll take a guess, and this is just a wild guess, just looking at someone who moved around the Premier League, really. Is it Graham Lasso?
It is indeed.
Wow.
Graham's on the board at Real Mallorca.
I'm just double checking. I'm pretty sure that's what he does now. I just wanted to double check before I say it. I'm sure he's that's what I wrote down, but
do you know what, Mikey? I think before you announced that on the show tonight, I think there was probably maybe 15 people who knew that in the whole world. Maybe.
I don't know. I feel like some of the more seasoned
Lasso
listeners.
Lasso is family, and then whoever, you know, his colleagues at the club are, and that's it.
Mallorca. Is it Real Mallorca as a director? Sport, on the board of directors.
I did not know that. And to be fair, that threw me off because I was trying to think of Spanish players.
Very underrated player, though, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Slightly before my time, really. But from what I've heard from him, you know, like he was an excellent player.
We sold him plus some cash for Wayne Bridge. So
we all know how that ended.
He scored a Champions League goal that I remember very, very well. It was a great goal.
Yeah. Made Ranieri call.
Yeah, that's true. Right. As always, we end our podcasts with some positivity now. So again, thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you have an incredible weekend and you treat yourself well with respect because, you know, you're a legend and you deserve nothing but the happiness and positivity in your life. We probably will be back on Monday to just talk Chelsea news and see what stood out from the first few opening games of the World Cup.
I'll be 50-50 depending on how the weekend goes.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll gauge it day by day with the Monday shows. But you know,
it'd be funny if I just didn't turn up now and like you know next day, I come back next Friday and I'm just like, hi guys.
I'd say keep an eye on our Discord for news and for details on Ollie as well. So till then, that is us signing off. You've been listening to At The Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram by searching for At The Bridge Pod. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, leaving us a review is always appreciated.